time machines, teleportation. I keep thinking of that movie, The Fly, and how the fly got mixed in with the other human, and poof, we had a disaster. Are we teleporting now, Michio? Are they working on anything? I know that, you know, I guess they're doing it with little particles, but are they getting to the big stuff yet?
Not yet. However, we are making enormous inroads on these particles. We can now teleport photons, particles of light, right across the Danube River. Eventually, we'll teleport into outer space. We'll teleport perhaps from the Earth to a satellite or maybe the space station, maybe even to Mars once we go to Mars. So there's no limit to where we can potentially teleport. We've teleported cesium atoms, rubidium atoms, but so far just atoms. Eventually, we'll teleport molecules, perhaps carbon dioxide, perhaps H2O. That's still a little bit in the future. But we can dream about the day when perhaps we'll be able to teleport the organic materials, living things, maybe even people. But then that raises the question. If you teleport somebody, you have to destroy the original in order to recreate them on the other room. So who is this person over there? You've just seen the original die, and his soul went to heaven, maybe. But hey, if this guy went to heaven, then who is this imposter over there who has all the memories, has all the personality quirks, and he says, no, I'm Captain Kirk. It really raises philosophical questions of who are we? Are we just information, if you can zap information across the room? It really raises all sorts of theological questions.
I am convinced that one day, if they can download memory to a chip somehow, and then they clone you, and they create this brand new Dr. Michio Kaku, this brand new George Nori, and they put the chip back in, or they download the memory back into you, you will probably think you are the same you.
And
you'll be younger, healthier.
And live forever.
And in theory, live forever, because they can keep doing it. You go to a special store or hospital, and they download you again, and they upload you, and they put you in this younger body, and off you go again.
Personally, I'd like to live the old-fashioned way, but it's conceivable that if somehow all your memories and your neural circuits could be recreated, that you may be able to be reborn in a perfect body. Some people work in artificial intelligence theory, believes that one day we'll be able to create a robot body that's perfect, you know, Superman-like, beautiful, gorgeous body, and somehow reprogram the brain so that it has our personality, or even download neuron for neuron, the architecture of our brain, into this other creature, so that neuron for neuron, transistor for transistor, its brain is identical to us. Now, that, of course, is centuries away, but it really does make you wonder, who are we if, in some sense, we could be recreated somewhere else with all our memories? Who are we then?
Under teleportation, why do you have to break down, kill off literally the body in order to recreate and send it?
Well, this has to do with a bizarre aspect of the quantum theory called quantum entanglement. Einstein hated it, but hey, Einstein was wrong on this one. What can I say? We entangle electrons all the time. If you take two electrons and bring them together, they vibrate in unison because everything is vibrating. Then if you separate them, if you separate these two electrons, an invisible umbilical cord starts to form between these two electrons. So that if you wiggle one electron, then the other electron is also wiggled, knows that its partner is wiggling. Now, Einstein hated this idea, because if you separate these two electrons by a galaxy, so they're 100,000 light years across, and you wiggle one electron, then somehow the other electron on the other side of the galaxy is somehow aware of the fact that its partner is wiggling faster than the speed of light. Einstein hated this idea. But, hey, we measure this in the laboratory. In fact, with the film crew for the Science Channel, we went to the University of Maryland and actually photographed this whole process. We actually photographed what happens when you zap a cesium atom right across the room, and it materializes someplace else. We caught it on camera. Of course, it's a blip, because on a computer screen, because their atoms were teleporting. But still, you can actually see the effect of teleportation right on the TV camera. So Einstein was wrong on this one.
So many new things going on with science, and they just keep getting faster and faster and faster.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it just will never end, will it?
No, and we're just beginning, if you think about it. Like Moore's Law, that says that computer power doubles every 18 months. That has given us the computer revolution of today, that your cell phone has more computer power today than all of NASA when it put two men on the moon.
Yeah.
And when you get a birthday card and the birthday sings happy birthday to you, that chip has more computer power than all the Allied forces of 1945. Hitler, Eisenhower, Churchill would have killed to get that chip. That, what do? You throw it in the garbage. That's how powerful computers have become. We basically throw them away.
I remember Buzz Aldrin was telling me, Mitch, that he needed to use a pen to stick down into a switch to get that lunar module up there so he can redock he and Neil Armstrong with the command module.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just amazing when you think about that. And now some watches have probably more brain power than
they
had in that thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, what you could put in a chip in a watch would rival anything that that NASA would have back in the 1960s. In fact, when you look at all these old tapes of them going to the moon, and you wonder, gee, my God, look at those old PCs they're using.
That's yeah.
Positively ancient history. You kind of wonder, how could an astronaut possibly get into a capsule knowing that he's backed up by a computer with the power of an old IBM PC of 1960s?
Well, that's why I think it would be so easy to get back to the moon because of the technology we have today. You know, we're not dealing with 1960 technology anymore. But they talk about another 15 years or 20 years. I don't understand why it would take so long.
The problem is boils down to one word: booster rockets. We have miniaturized computers so that you can put 100 million transistors on your thumbnail. But booster rockets are booster rockets. The laws of gravity haven't changed at all. It costs $10,000 to put a pound of anything in orbit. That's your weight in gold. So think of Buzz Aldrin made out of solid gold. That's what it costs to just put him into outer space, just whipping around the Earth, spinning wheels, doing nothing. $10,000 a pound, the price of gold. So that's how expensive space travel is and will be for quite a while because of rocket fuel. That's the bottleneck. There's no Moore's Law for rocket fuel. So space travel will be expensive until we get space elevators, until we get new forms of thrust. Then things start to change. But a space elevator is maybe 100 years away still.